All right. Good morning. Yes. I am so humbled to be here this morning. I would have preferred to come and sit down and be ministered to by Randolph, who I regard very, very highly. I also listen to you. I follow you. I use some of your notes for many things. To me, you are the elder brother too, the big brother in many ways. I thank God for you. I also thank God for Renee. She took care of me this week. Amen. Randolph will always say that I'm just like Renee. You know, and as we spent time this week together, I just saw myself in her, and I said, well, we are many. I love you, Renee. Thank you for taking care of me. Except one thing, she drives very fast. I drive slow. But it is well. Amen. I really asked God what to share because I sincerely really wanted to come and listen. I am in a season where I am just shut down just to listen to what the Lord is saying. You know, life can be very, very busy. I am a busy person. As Randolph has said, I'm a medical doctor. I work for the Centers for Disease Control, which is part of the U.S. government. As a deputy director, I rose through the ranks, and I'm the first local hire to hold the position that I hold right now. Amen. Was specifically created for me by the grace of God. On the other hand, in the ministry with James, we are ministering in Nairobi, and we do many things. And over and above that, the Lord put in my heart to reach out to women ministers, and I have been doing that for the last 3 years, since 2012. I've seen the ministry grow. Every 2 months we have a meeting. I see over 200 pastors and pastors' wives who are women that come to that meeting from all over the country, and many other things that the Lord has enabled us to do, and we praise him. I just want to share what the Lord put in my heart. I asked God, just put in my heart something, and I'll share it very, very simple. I have a deep voice. That's the way I was created. So I hope you will not think that I'm shouting. It's just the natural me. If I shout, then it is too loud. I want us to go to John chapter 10, verse 10, and also receive greetings from James. He greeted you. He is a better preacher than myself because that is his occupation. But I'll try and represent him well. I was actually after the conference, I had a dream that I had been asked to speak in a place. Thamo was there was someone else, and I was like, I cannot be able to speak. Then Thamo was telling me, you are well able. In that dream. So I want to take that dream literally and say, I am well able. Let's go to John chapter 10. I'll read from verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up the other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke. Let me read verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and find pastures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Let me jump to verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I say to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." As I sought the Lord and asked him, what will I share? I heard the Lord say, it's time for abundance for this church and this part of the body of Christ. Amen. And he specifically gave me John chapter 10, verse 10. So even as Randolph was sharing, and also my brother who shared the communion, I thought, you know, it confirmed to me what the Lord is saying to you, that, you know, he wants to bring you to a place of overflow. Because that abundance is also overflow. And Jesus said in verse 10 that the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy, but he said, "But I myself have come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance." And I want you, Gates Ministry Durban, to believe that the time has come for you to go over the level that you have been in the last couple of days or last couple of years. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, Paul tells Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything." With everything. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "He did not spare his own son, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" In other words, these two scriptures give us the desire of God for his children. Amen. Is that he will give them everything. Yes. And it's everything for our enjoyment. You know, the word abundance or overflow means to be satisfied, to be wealthy, to be bathed or showered with blessing, to be soaked as in water, and to have abundance. I looked at the word abundant also when Jesus said, "You shall have life and have it abundantly," and it has several meanings, one of them being superabundant, excessive, exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. That is the way the Greek defines it. Exceedingly abundantly above, confirming Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able to give us exceedingly abundantly above. You know, that's not right English to use those three words together. Meaning that for those words to be used together, exceedingly, abundantly, above, is just the emphasis that God wants to put in what he wants to do. And also abundance means beyond measure, and it also means superfluous. And I know that because we are humble people, because we are apostolic people, we tend to shy off from abundance. and we tend to shy off from overflow. You know, for a long time, I personally did not believe that God wanted to bless me. I think because of how I had seen the church, you know, and the charismatic and all that, and in my mind, that was not the right thing. And I really shied off from abundance, not just materially, because, you know, God does not want to just bless us materially, but God wants us to prosper in everything. Yeah. John says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in everything, in all things, you know, both materially, spiritually, and even physically in terms of our health. And it's the great desire of God. You know, there is a scripture, I think, I don't know whether I put it down, let me see, where Jesus said, it is my, do not fear, little children, because it is my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. In fact, he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. It is his pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants, and we are his servants. And that prosperity is abundance. But then, for us to come to this abundance, we must walk in a journey that is described in John chapter 10 and also in Psalms chapter 23. Before Jesus said, I have come that I may give you life in abundance, he brings in the issue of being a sheep and being shepherded. Yes. And you again, when you go back to Psalms chapter 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will not want. Yes. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. In other words, my cup overflows. Hallelujah. And we see that the journey towards overflow starts with the level, or is dependent on your level of how much you can be shepherded. You see, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Amen. I am the good shepherd. Yes. And in that context, he says, I have come as a shepherd that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Yes. In other words, the journey to overflow is through the ability to be shepherded. Yes. It starts with you allowing God to shepherd you. And your level of overflow or abundance is dependent on your level of how much you're shepherded. Hallelujah. By the Lord. You know, he says three key things. I speak very fast, so I'll try and relax. He says three key things that the Lord does in shepherding. In Psalms 23, he says, he makes, you know, David says, he makes me, he leads me, he restores me. Yes. Those three things. Amen. In shepherding. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How is he my shepherd? He does three things. He makes me, he leads me, he restores me.
Hallelujah.
He makes me, meaning he brings me to a position of rest.
Yes.
He brings me to a position of repose.
Yes.
He brings me to a position of recline.
Yes.
So that he can make me. Because unless we allow the Lord to make us, then he cannot even be able to lead us.
Yes.
You know, God tells Jacob, you know, he calls him Jacob. He says, Jacob, whom I have created, but Israel, whom I have formed, or Israel, whom I have made. And there is a process of being made in order for God to shepherd you.
Amen.
Amen. So there is the making. Then he says, he leads me. That leading means to feed and to guide. So he makes me, brings me to a position of rest so that he can feed me, so that he can guide me. And then he says he restores me, which means to bring back to the original intent.
Amen.
In other words, he restores you, which we know the original intent is the image of God.
Yes.
He created man in his image, and we know that image of God is Christ himself, because Christ is the image of God, to bring us back to the original and to set us again, and to set us again. Amen? And so that is the first step that God takes in order, you know, to bring us to a place of abundance. And after that is when David says, he anoints my head with oil, because I am there to be anointed. I can be led to be anointed. I can be restored to be anointed. And my cup runs over. Yes. Therefore, we must develop the character of a sheep for us to be able to be shepherded. Yes. And I think that's the main thing I want to share with you this morning. We must develop the character of a sheep, because sheep is very different from a goat. And we know that the shepherd has both the sheep and goats. Matthew 25, verse 31, the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his right hand, the goats on the left hand. In other words, we must allow God in that making to make us to be like sheep. He brings in a very strong word. He says he will separate the sheep and he will separate the goat. And this is just a type. And therefore, because of this scripture, we must ask ourselves, what is the difference between a sheep and a goat? Why is God, though he created the goat, why is God saying, I'll put them to my left and I'll put the sheep on my right? Meaning, we, because this is referring to people, must therefore seek to have the character and the nature of a sheep. Yes. And we know that that nature and the character of the sheep is Christ's nature, because yes, he is the Lamb of God. Yes. He is the Lamb of God that takes the sins of the world. Yes. So in other words, God is saying, those who have the nature and the character of Christ. Yes. But just looking at the sheep and looking at how sheep is very different from a goat. From a goat, because over the years that we have been pastors, I think now for 16 or 17 years, I found that there is more tendency for us to be goatish, if I use that, than sheepish. I hope that is correct English. I found that, you know, God would like to change us, to make us. He makes me so that we can be like sheep and not God. One difference between goat and sheep is that goats are browsers. In other words, the way they eat, they just pick, 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 pick. They just like browse, eh? They're just browsing, like browsing the internet, going everywhere. And they are not choosy when it comes to food. I don't know about, I have not seen here in South Africa, because you are more organized, thank God for you. But in Kenya, you will find goats just roaming on the road. And actually, they eat absolutely anything that they find. So they are not choosy. They sample anything and eat everything. While sheep are grazers and are very specific to what they eat. Amen? Amen. Yes. We'll come to that again. But you can know that difference. If you are a good student, you can divide your notebook into two and write goats on the left. Make sure the goats are on the left and the sheep is on the right. So goats are browsers, sheep are grazers. In other words, goats are not choosy when it comes to food. They are browsers. They sample anything. Sheep are grazers and are very specific in what they eat. Number two, goats are very curious and independent, while sheep really have a very strong flocking instinct and group mentality. It's very rare to find a sheep that is on its own. Sheep will always flock together.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says we are the flock of his pasture. Because sheep flock together, while goats are more curious. That's why when David says, he leads me, he says he leads me into the path. Now, that path was a very narrow path. And only a sheep can fit in that path. Because a goat is very curious and will keep crossing the line.
Yes.
Because they are very curious and very independent and more likely to wander away. That's why they are wandering goats. You don't see wandering sheep. In fact, when a sheep is lost from the flock, it becomes very disturbed. That is why Jesus will say that, you know, when he loses one, he goes for it. Because he knows as long as they are in the flock, they are safe.
Yes.
And will go for this one because a sheep cannot survive
Hallelujah.
On its own. Because sheep survive better
Hallelujah.
When they are in the flock.
Amen.
Goats are therefore, because they are very curious and independent, they are very hard to contain. They are very hard to call. You can rarely put them in a cage. You can't cage them. While it's easier to contain the sheep. When you look at their physique, you'll find that goats have a tail that looks up, goes up, points upward. While sheep have a tail that points downward. And God wants our tails actually to go downwards. And I'll tell you, you know, most of the time, a goat's tail is standing up. Well, I wish I'd wanted to show it on the picture, but that's fine. While a sheep one is hanging downwards. Also, you will find that sheep rarely have horns. Yeah? While goats have horns. And when a sheep have horns, you'll find their horns are like this. While the goat ones are very, very tall, and they always point upward. Okay? I wish you would see the picture. I also say that sheep flock together, while goats are very, very independent. They also say that sheep are led from the front, while goats, you have to chase them from behind for you to be able to actually contain them. Because goats don't follow the voice of the shepherd. Since they are independent, then you have to keep chasing them. Okay, ask your neighbor, are you a goat in your character? I know you are a sheep, but in character, are you goatish? Or are you sheepish? For example, if the pastor has to keep calling you where you are, you don't come to the fellowship, you don't say where you are, then that's a goatish nature. Because you have to be chased. But sheep will naturally flock
Amen.
With the brethren. When you wake up in the morning and you feel so discouraged, you don't want to go to the fellowship of the brethren. It's a goatish spirit catching up with you. But when you are a sheep, then you know, I cannot survive without being among the flock. Then you'll find yourself coming for the fellowship. Amen. Now, you see, the Lord wants to make us like a sheep because, one, sheep is humble.
Yes.
That is why you find the tail is down
yes.
and the horns are carved. Because, you know, horn is a sign of pride.
Yes.
Yeah? When you lift up your horn, it's a sign of pride.
Yes.
So you find that sheep, and also, of course, horn is a sign of strength and power.
Yes.
So sheep may have strength and power, but they are humble.
Yes.
I watched a video sometimes back and saw a sheep fighting with a goat. And what surprised me was that the goat will lift up itself and lift up itself and, you know, gets very tired because it's not able to eat. While sheep comes like this. It's still carving its horn, but approaches very, very calmly and keeps coming while the goat is just lifting itself and gets tired very fast, in that it's very difficult for a goat to win the sheep. Yeah. Even though the goat is very, very high and doing a lot, but the sheep in its humility will be covering ground. Amen. And be able to win even in that level of humility.
Amen.
Amen. So, humility is a character of the sheep. Humility is a character of the sheep. Two is the ability to follow instructions. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Amen. My sheep hear my voice. And they will not follow a stranger because they can be able to follow. Number three, sheep are more dependent. The ability to depend on God, to depend on your shepherd that God has given you, and I'll be speaking about that in a short while. Number four, as we say that sheep like to flock together, is the ability to honor the fellowship of the brethren. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that do not neglect the coming together of brethren, as is a habit. Now, that habit of some is a goatish habit.
Yeah.
It's just a goatish nature that likes to be very independent and does not honor the fellowship of the brethren. And, you know, there is a reason why God would like us to be a flock or to be together. Psalms 133, the Bible says, that how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
That is why God, in his wisdom, has put us in flocks. And as long as you stay within the flock that God has put you in, because you see, God has divided us as a church into different flocks. Yeah, and that is the flock to which God has already placed you. First Peter chapter 5, when Peter was giving a charge to the elders, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God that has been entrusted to you." In other words, that is put under your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Randolph is not responsible for another flock.
Yeah.
He is responsible for you as a sheep.
Yeah.
And God has placed you in this flock so that you can get to your journey of overflow by being a good member of that flock.
Amen.
And therefore, and it is in that flock that we need to honor, because in that unity, in that oneness, God commands a blessing.
Yes. Amen.
God commands a blessing. God commands a blessing. So honoring the fellowship of the brethren. Now, and God shepherds us by putting a shepherd over our lives.
Yes.
Amen. Because when you go to 1 Peter, let me just read it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Trying to share very simple by the grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, I think, from verse 1. The Bible says, "The elders who are among you I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away."
Amen.
So Peter giving a charge to,
yes,
to the elders here, he says, shepherd the flock of God. Because God does not shepherd you in other way. Even though he is the chief shepherd, he is the archi shepherd.
Yes.
Amen. I actually wonder where people got archbishop, what, because that archi actually is only attributed to God, okay?
Yes.
I don't know whether there are archis here, but in Kenya we have all these archbishop. But the arch means chief.
Yes.
shepherd, and that is God. But God has put other under shepherd in our lives so that they can shepherd us. Because in Psalms 107 verse 41 he says, yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. Like a flock. Psalm 77 verse 20 says, you led your people like a flock. There is no other leading. God cannot lead you into the overflow unless you are part of a flock. Amen. I think that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Yes. By the hand of Moses and Aaron. So the way God led them was by the hand of Moses and by the hand of Aaron. Even though he is the chief shepherd, he is the main shepherd. God has put shepherds to shepherd our Amen. Lives. Amen. And when you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and also Acts chapter 20, Yes, I think it's Acts chapter 20. When Paul was charging the elders of Ephesus, you find that there are three main roles of a shepherd in your life. In leading you to the place of overflow, there are three main roles of a shepherd. He says elders, he says shepherds, and he says oversee. Those three words, we can actually look at them. Let's go back again. He says the elders, you can underline that in your Bible, who are among you. So in the first place, they are elders. I exhort, I whom I am a fellow elder. So in other words, we know that Peter is an apostle, that much we know. But in this case, in the church, he says, I also a fellow elder. Yes. And that's the first role of the shepherd, Hallelujah. Is to be an elder. I'll show you something after this. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, he says, shepherd. So you need to underline now shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now you see elder, you see shepherd, and then you see overseer. Not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted. Entrusted to you. You need to know that the shepherd that God has given to you is actually, you have been entrusted by God to that shepherd.
Yes, amen.
Yeah? You've been entrusted by God to that shepherd. Amen. That is why, over and above giving an account of his life, he shall give an account of your life. In fact, that's what the Bible says. We honor them as those who will give an account for our lives. Because God has literally taken you and entrusted your life.
Yeah.
That's how God shepherds his people. Wow. Yes. Is Amen. By leading them by the hand of Moses and by the hand of Aaron. That's how God shepherds them. And God entrusts them. And they have three roles over your life. One is to be elders over your life. Two is to be shepherds, and three is to be overseers. And those three have different meanings. You know, an elder, when you look at the Greek word, Randolph taught me to study Greek, so I am ever looking at the Greek word. When you look at the elder, in the Greek word is presbyteros. Okay, and that one means to rule, ruling over your life. And that's the only way you can go to overflow in your life until you allow somebody to rule over you. Amen. You know, we live in a time when people do not want anybody to rule their lives. They want freedom. They want democracy. That's the world we live in. I go to the church when I want. I live when I want. I do what I want because they do not want anybody to have rulership over their lives. But in shepherding, there is being ruled. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, remember those who rule. That's a function of an elder, is to rule over your life, to bring you to accountability. You cannot go to overflow until you learn how to be accountable. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you. So the first function of an elder, of a shepherd in your life, is to rule you so that he can lead you or she can lead you to overflow. Number two is the shepherding. which is appointment or a pastor. And that one is the role of a pastor to feed you, to care for you, and to be tender, to feed, to care, and also to tend.
Hallelujah.
The final one is the overseer. That overseer is episcopal, episcopal. You will see those who watch over your life, having oversight. I mean, I can tell you that if you allowed the shepherd in your life to have oversight in your life, they will lead you.
Hallelujah.
They will have oversight over your life. They will see for you.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be cold, but they will see for you.
Amen.
Including who you should get married to or marry. God can show them. Of course, you are living in a very free world. You know, a certain brother in our church, you know, he is a doctor. And when he was a student, he became goatish. And met some other people that, you know, were prophetic and prophesy over his life. So he was like a goat browsing, eating everywhere. And he got confused and ran away from the church, and I started looking for him, because that's the role of a shepherd, is to look for the sheep, even though they have developed some goatish nature. I looked for him. I tried to bring him back. You know, he was resistant for around a year, but then he came back. After he came back, I used to meet him like every 2 weeks, you know, helping him with his schoolwork, because now he had failed. He even wanted to leave the degree course and etc. So I tried to help him. So for 5 years, I mentored him. And he actually took 10 years instead of 6 years in medical school. But I helped him, and he passed his exams. After he passed his exams, again, he developed some goatish nature and went away for some time. When he came back, he told me there is a lady that the Lord has given him. And I told him, bring that lady to me. And he brought the lady. I have nothing against anyone, but I know in my spirit, sometimes something will just click.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told him, you wait a bit so that, you know, we can be able to know whether this is the will of God. And he was so rebellious. He refused. He even went now to another church with that lady. Then later he actually learned the history of this lady. One, first of all, the lady was very old than him, older than him. And that's not a problem. Because I don't think in the Bible it's written you marry this age. I don't. So that was not the problem. But he discovered some other, you know, things about this lady.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, he actually came back after that. And within a short time, the Lord blessed him. Actually, right now, he's the one who is a personal assistant to my husband. Very good. And God has given him a wonderful wife. What was my role there was to oversee,
yes,
and to watch over his life. And it's important. And that lady now, the other lady he wanted to marry, has done things in the short term that are very, very bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure she would have done the same if he got married to her. But at least he allowed me. I pray that he stays now sheepish and not develop the goatish nature. But even if you develop the goatish nature, we'll still come back and watch over your life. So that episcopal means to watch over or to have oversight, to protect, to cover, and to be in charge. And it's very important for us, as we come to the place of overflow, for us to allow God to shepherd us. Otherwise, we'll never go to overflow. If you study John 10, you study Psalms 23, the entire journey is about becoming a sheep, allowing God to shepherd you, and specifically allowing God to shepherd you through the shepherd that he has put in your life. Amen.
Amen.
And just to repeat that, for you to be able to stay in the flock, you must be able to follow simple instructions. You must be humble, because, you know, humility is key for me to overflow. Because humility releases five things I see in scriptures. One, humility releases wisdom. Yeah, humility releases wisdom. By humility, But with the humble is wisdom. The Bible says humility releases honor. Humility releases promotion. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. You know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. So humility releases promotion. Humility releases riches. By humility and the fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs, are riches and honor and life. And then humility releases grace. So wisdom, riches, honor, promotion, and grace come by humility. And that's the nature of a sheep. That is why the Bible says he was led like a sheep into the slaughter. And he did not even open his mouth. That is total humility and obedience. He did not utter a word. Why? Because he was fulfilling the will of his father, even though it was a painful process. But he humbled. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself and he became obedient even to a point of death. That is very high level of obedience. But that obedience can only come through humility. And through humility, it releases the keys to the blessings of God. Wisdom, honor, riches, promotion, glory, grace. Grace that gives you an ornament, a crown of glory. I want to read Psalms 95 from verse 7 to 11 as I close. Psalms 95 from verse 7. You can read from there. Psalms 95 from verse 7 to 11. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, even though they were his people. Let's go back and read it again one more time. Yes. For he is our God, and we are the people, or we are the flock. Some version will say we are the flock of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of wilderness, in the wilderness. Hallelujah. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. So we need to be very careful about two things emphasized in this scripture. One is rebellion. You know, rebellion. A rebellion that can develop in our hearts. And we also need to be careful not to harden our hearts. Because you see, the Bible says, you know, that God puts the solitary into families, but the rebellious, the rebellious will be in the wilderness, will go to the wilderness. Now, you know, in the wilderness, there is lack, there is dryness. And, you know, it's a goatish nature to, actually, when you look at pictures, if you go to the internet and just, you know, Google goats and sheep, you find sheep are always together, flocking together, and in places where there is grass. Goats, because they are more independent, they are more rebellious, you find them in the wilderness. And wilderness represents a place of lack, a place of drought, a place where you can never come to a place of overflow. And we need to take care of our hearts, wow, that we are not rebellious, and also we do not harden our hearts. Amen. And I have to keep checking my heart as a person that I am not hardened. I don't know about you, but it's easy to be hardened. Yes. And there are several things that harden your heart. One is offense. Offense will harden your heart. Yeah, it will, can really harden your heart, including being offended by God. Because God can offend you. His word can offend you. Yeah. In fact, his word is offensive. That's why it has a piercing nature. And God can offend you, one, by delaying. I mean, you can be offended. Not because God wants to do evil to you, because God is good all the time, but the way he is good is different from the way we think. But sometimes God will bring a delay to our lives, and that can cause offense and hardness of heart because you're asking. I was counseling a sister in our church the other day. She doesn't have a baby. It's, I think, now 8 years since she got married. And, you know, I've seen her heart harden, harden, harden. She used to be a very prayerful sister. She loved the Lord. She served him. She sang in the choir. But I have seen her draw back. Now she sits right at the back. So I just asked her to come so that we could talk and chat. And she told me, you know, I just cannot even pray. I just cannot even ask God anything because I feel he has offended me. Now, some people may not verbalize it, but you can get that offense. Now, what that offense does, it hardens your heart so much that the word of God cannot penetrate. Yeah. Because that's why he gives us a heart of flesh. You know, I found one time as we walked with God as a ministry, and for many years, around 10, I did not see anything that looked like there was hope in what we were doing. I mean, all what we experienced was people leaving us, people going away from us, people hurting me, you know, I mean, all kinds of things, saying all kinds of things, stabbing our backs. You know, we help them, we sacrifice. We, you know, economically we are poorer, so to say. I mean, you guys are there. We are down here. And so poverty, you know, lack and need, I mean, you are great people. You have great resources. We are very different in Kenya. And that way then we helped people, paid their house rent, did so many things, you know, with a good heart. But the same people would stab us, the same people would speak so evil about us. And I can tell you, I personally, without my knowledge, developed this thing. I said to tell myself, because I am good, God has given me favor, I will just get a job and run away. Because I felt nothing was working, nothing was making sense. And in my heart, I did not verbalize it, but in my heart, it was down. I felt like God. I looked at the neighboring church that was doing all these kind of things, I don't know about South Africa, but they were every day prospering, buying new cars, new buildings, and here we are being chased from one building to another. One day we came to the fellowship on a Sunday, and the building was closed, and we had to go and worship in a small office. I felt like, really, God? In my heart, I did not verbalize it, but in my heart, it was there. Yeah. Even though I said, praise the Lord, we love God, and preached and all this, but my heart, I could feel God was unfair. But I did not verbalize it. So one day, do you like stories? Let me tell you this. One day as I was praying and asking, you know, James was not there. And I think he had gone to Zimbabwe or something, and it was a Sunday, and he had asked me, just share and preach in the church. That time I never used to preach much. So he said, preach and share in the church. But I felt I wasn't ready. Let me tell you why I wasn't ready. One, it was the third Sunday of the month. Now, and the third Sunday of the month, I don't know about here, but there is a Sunday that people don't come. They simply don't come to church. There are fewer people. I don't know about here whether the same people come, but in Kenya, there is a Sunday where, I don't know, ours is the third Sunday. Either because they have no transport, you know, all that kind of thing. And so I said that was one. Two, I was just feeling my heart was not to it. And therefore, I did tell James, but I asked one of the other leaders in the church to preach. So that night I couldn't sleep. I was so disturbed, very disturbed. So I woke up, I went to the study room. There is a place I pray, and I knelt down and started praying. I said, if I can't sleep, then let me pray. And I prayed, and all of a sudden I felt a certain presence that I'd never felt before, and I kept quiet. And I heard a voice tell me, why have you blasphemed me? And I said, me? No, I give, I pray, I love you, Lord. He said, but you've blasphemed my name. I say, how? Then I heard a voice tell me, because you have despised me in your heart and you are offended by me because of what I have not done, even though you feel you are faithful. It's like Jeremiah would say, God, you have cheated me. And that is what I was feeling, even though I did not verbalize it. And I said, God. And he said, and because of that, you are offended. You can't share. You can't preach in the church tomorrow. Wow. You have given it out. And I said, God, I will preach. He said, no, don't preach because you've already given to another person. But when you go, pray for the people. Just bless the people. And at that point, we had been, it's a long story, but our church was going through transition. And the place where we were meeting was a very dirty primary school. It had such dirty toilets that for those 9 months we were there, I never stepped in that toilet. I kept my Coca-Cola to myself. Because I have treasure clean toilets. So I was so offended that that had happened. And I never, and you know, we looked for a place for a long time, and that is the only place we found. I, by nature, or maybe by the grace of God, I give thanks for everything. But for this one, God reminded me, I'd never given him thanks, at least for that small place that he had taken us, that had very dirty toilets. So God said, lead the church in thanksgiving after the minister has ministered. You know what happened? That day when I went to the church, I was shocked. One, there were so many people. And it was the third Sunday of the month. And, you know, from that day, as we gave thanks, and I dealt with offense in my heart, I asked God to forgive him. I thanked him, and I said, God, I will serve you. I'll not look for a job anymore. And it is easy for me to get a job. I'm offered jobs every other day. I told the Lord I will not. From that day, it opened the door. And by the next, as I was driving out, going home, the Lord said, look to your left. I looked to my left. God said, you see that place where there was that big church that moved? I will give you that place. And God said, amen. Go there and find out. By that time, that church had left that place. There was a school that was running there. So he said, go there. There is a small hall there. Just go and start your church there. So when James came, I said, you know, the Lord said this. And he said, it's okay. If the Lord said, we go. Rarely does he agree, but this time he agreed. So we went to that place, and the rest is history. And the Lord opened. Why? Because I dealt with the offense in my heart. And you know, offense can block God from speaking to you. And we need to deal with that. Even if there is delay in our lives, even if we may not see physically. You know, I really liked what the brother said. This is the time for manifestation. This is the time for manifestation. And Randolph, I just want to give you that scripture that the Lord gave me, even though I have quoted it, but I want to give you and then I'll sit down. This is what the Lord said to me in the morning as I was thinking about this preaching. Yeah. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 is the one that I quoted. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. And God says to you, Randolph, you have been very faithful in feeding this flock. Amen. That you have been very faithful in feeding this flock without any reservation. You have given everything. But time has come for you to see the fruit of the labor for all the years. There is going to be an explosion. In fact, I remember the words of Elijah. Is it Elijah who said, I can hear the sound of abundance? Is it Elijah? Which scripture is that one? As I sat there now, that word now came to me. And I want to just speak it to you. I know I've shared in a very simple way, but this is the word of the Lord. Is it 1 Kings or 2 Kings? It is 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Yeah. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I feel it's time for abundance. It's time for overflow. It's time to break the banks. There'll be, you will break it. It will be so sudden. It will be so sudden, Randolph. I want you to follow your word. Add the seats because they are coming. And you cannot be ashamed. You cannot. You don't even need to give an excuse anymore. Just add the seats because it will be an abundance of rain. It will be like an acceleration that is coming. And you know, when God does it, he does it so quickly. So that we are not able to even now keep up with what God is doing. So I don't know where you get the seats, whether you buy them or you ask for them. I do not know. But I can hear the abundance of rain and overflow for all of us. But the greatest strength will come from our flocking together and allowing the Lord to shepherd us and make us the shepherd, the flock of his pasture. But I hear an abundance of rain. I see an overflow.
Hallelujah.
I see a breaking of banks. It's not just, what is happening international is just a sign. Let me tell you, you will have a springing board from this place.
Hallelujah.
These people will send you to the nations because their abundance is coming. Men are coming. They are coming with their wealth. They are coming with their riches. They are coming with their skills.
Hallelujah.
They are coming with their resources. There will be an abundance in this place. Can't you hear the rain?
Hallelujah.
And the blessing of God that is coming to you. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. I think we can stand up and just pray for 1 minute. Father, we bless you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. We hear the abundance of the rain. We hear the abundance of your blessing. We hear the abundance. Thank you, Lord. 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 We bless you. We bless you. You know, a faithful man, the Bible says, will abound with blessing. Will abound with blessing. Lord, we release the blessing of God over this house. Thank you for the prophetic word that has come to them, that they have come to a place of overflow. They have come to a place of abundance. They have come to a place where from this city, from this church, they will flow to the nations. They will flow to the nations. And nations will also flow to them. They will come to them. Lord, we release those people in the name of Jesus. We refuse to be saying we are a small church. We are not a small church. We are not a small church. We are becoming a church that is big enough to celebrate, yet small enough to care. We know that we like to care for each other. But God, you are bringing us to a place where we can be large enough to celebrate you, yet small enough to care for one another. We open up the doors. We open up the doors. We open up the doors of our hearts. Oh God, we remove this limit. We remove this limitation in our mind in the name of Jesus. We open up every door. We open up every door and we close every other window where people have been living through. Any door where people have been coming. Any gaps that have been there that have made people to go away that came in. Father, we close those gaps. And right now we open up the front door to allow nations to come. To allow nations to come. We allow nations to come. We allow people of different kinds to come. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we allow people of every race and every nation to come into this place. In the name of Jesus. We do not limit you in any way. I open the doors. I open the doors. We call them from the east. We call them from the west. We call them from the north. We call them from the south. We call them. We call them. I want you to make that confession. I want you to make that confession. We call them. It's not just positive thinking, but it's a confession of faith. We call them. We call them. We call them. We call Durban. We call Durban to gather in this place. We call Durban to gather in this place. 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 Father, bring children. Let's pray for all kinds of people. Bring children to come. Bring young men to come. Bring older youth to come. Oh God, bring old ladies to come, old men to come, bring couples, bring singles, bring all kinds of people to us, to the glory of your name, to the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.